We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock. It's Friday, the 30th of September, 2016. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm your host for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. As ever, we are broadcasting live on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org. This programme will also be available as a podcast from the Sheffield Live website. And talking about podcasts, there's a whole wealth of exciting music from rock to reggae to Motown to roots to much, much more. You can find it all on the Sheffield Live website. You can also find talk shows from shows about placemaking to social enterprise through to science. Sheffield Live's new science programme on Saturday mornings, presented by Paul Gregory, who's actually in the studio with me, a sound engineer today, is going from strength to strength. So make sure you tune into that or download the podcast. Talking about podcasts, if you missed last week's programme, which featured Elizabeth Chasser and Laura Bennett, just back from Gaza, where they've been mentoring startups and entrepreneurs, and Johnny Pavlik, just back from Japan, where he's been expanding his Sheffield-based agency into Japan. Well, panic not, because you can listen to that show from the podcast section of the website. All you need to do is go to sheffieldlive.org, find radio shows, look up Business Live, and listen away to last week's show from the 23rd of September. But what's coming up in today's programme? Well, I'm delighted to welcome to the studio Bilal Jamil of the Public Speaking Academy. He's been on the programme before, and he's going to give some tips for anyone who has to speak in public. We also have in the studio with us today Deborah Bullivant. Deborah set up Grimm & Co., which is an incredible and wonderful facility, literacy charity, and apothecary to the magical in Rotherham. Deborah, again, has been on the programme before because I interviewed her at Grimm & Co.'s launch, but we're going to find out much, much more about Grimm & Co., so stay tuned for that. Before we turn to our guests, so just a quick reminder, a couple of upcoming events. So next week, it's the quarterly economic survey breakfast. That's taking place at 8 a.m. next week on the 7th of October. And you'll be able to hear the results of the Sheffield City Region Quarterly Economic Survey. It's the first business survey since the EU referendum. You can find out how businesses in the city region say they have been impacted since the vote to leave the EU and what they think will happen next. They'll also debate how they're managing the uncertainty around the economy. And you'll learn when respondents think Article 50 should be triggered and what are the most pressing issues that they think the government needs to clarify or to work on. So speakers will also include Greg Wright, who's the Deputy Business Editor at the Yorkshire Post, along with Doncaster Chamber and RBS, and Professor Andrew Simpson, who's the Associate Dean for External Business Advancement at Sheffield University Management School. Now, if you want to go along to that event, which takes place at Vulcan to the Sky, all you need to do is go to scci.org.uk, which is the Sheffield Chamber website, where you'll find Quarterly Economic Survey Breakfast event being profiled there. So take a look and, of course, then go along. What else is going on? Well, in last week's programme, we mentioned the Business and Intellectual Property Centre Sheffield has a whole range of upcoming events which are free for people running businesses. Could be of benefit. Sheffield Social Enterprise Network has lots going on. They've released their latest newsletter yesterday. So if you're not a member and you're interested in social enterprise, then go to the Sheffield Social Enterprise Network website and find out more. And, of course, we have an event coming up this weekend, which we're going to talk about in the programme today. So I think it's time to bring in our first guest. Just before I do, quick reminder, though, if you want to get in touch with this programme, if there's anything you think we should be talking about, if you want to put yourself or someone else forward as a guest, or if you want to respond to a topic we've discussed, then get in touch. All you need to do is email jamie@sheffieldlive.org, text 07 904 272 200, or find me, Jamie Veitch, or Sheffield Live on Twitter. Whether you're running or starting a business, a social enterprise, whether you're an employer or an employee, we're always keen to hear from you. So without further ado, Delighted to welcome Bilal Jamil to the studio. Bilal, good morning.
Good morning, Jamie. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are
you? Good to see you. Yes, fantastic, Jamie. Been busy. We've got an event, as you mentioned, coming up on Saturday at the Sheffield Hilton. And really looking forward to that. We've got a packed house. In fact, we have a full house. This Saturday. And hopefully I'm able to offer your listeners one or two tickets as well. So I'm looking forward to plugging that for you folk as well.
Thank you, Bilal. So first of all, then, it's a few weeks, months, time flies since you were on the program. It is actually a good few months since you were on the program, and you run the Public Speaking Academy. And I'm going to ask you to describe the event coming up on Saturday at the Hilton in depth in a moment or two. But before we do, just tell me a little bit more about what you do and how you help businesses. And then I'm going to ask you for some tips, because many of our listeners will be in a position where they have to speak in public. And for people who are really, really accomplished at running their business or their social enterprise, I know that sometimes many people do still get nervous about speaking in public. So the Public Speaking Academy, one of your raisons d'etre is to support people with public speaking. How do you do that?
So I think it's brilliant what you just asked, Jamie. I just wanted to mention that the word you use, speaking in public, is exactly what we're about. We call ourselves Public Speaking Academy, and of course we teach and coach people in public speaking, but it's all about the communication, whether it's one-to-one, whether it's in networking events or even face-to-camera on social media, because the world has changed significantly. And everybody who is in business, at work, even on a personal level in terms of social confidence, your ability to reach out, connect, share your story, your message with many people is absolutely vital to your success. It's directly proportional. And what we do is we take people on who are either feeling anxious, nervous, of speaking to groups of people, presentations, having to do speeches, best man speeches, wedding speeches, any area of communication, right through to people who are executives and CEOs, politicians, people who have to share their message with thousands of people and we're wanting to polish the way they communicate. So fundamentally, the critical thing is how to get your message across with clarity, congruence and absolute confidence, and that's what we're all about.
Okay, so clarity, confidence and congruence and getting your message across, and as you say, in public. But that it does involve a whole variety of contexts now in the modern age. And interesting that you mentioned speaking to camera on social media. That, of course, is something that many businesses use. They need to use, they need to find a way to do that, and it's very, very effective. You did a wonderful piece to camera earlier this week, which I checked out when I was preparing for the show, and you asked people watching it to guess how many takes it took.
I did indeed. It was fun, and I know, Jamie, you're hinting. Can you reveal that? and I promised I will reveal it at the event on Saturday, so I'm going to have to keep to my promise. But yes, absolutely. I think you asked me around a couple of tips, and I want to share some of our speaking strategies with your listeners. And I think it's vital that everybody out there, in fact, I would go as far as saying I have a complete and utter belief that every single person has a right to share their story. They have a right to actually find their voice. And unfortunately, whether it's at school, whether it's through experience at work, even amongst our family members, we go through life and somewhere along the line, we lose our confidence. We lose our ability to actually just stand up and be ourselves. And what Public Speaking Academy is all about is helping people with that. And one of the things that I start with is what I call the speaking mindset. Because if you imagine you're speaking to a friend, or you imagine you're speaking to a family member that you get on with, your confidence level is different compared to the level of confidence when you're in a group of people. And that is fundamentally to do with your mindset. And if you can start to borrow some of that confidence and transfer it across, your confidence starts to increase. And that's something that we work on in a lot more detail, and obviously there's strategies around that. But something else on a practical level, I think is so important is what we call our professional pace. And you use it. I'm using it right now. A lot of your radio presenters will be using it. It's your ability to think and speak at the same time, to adjust your pace. One of the problems in public speaking and presentation is people start to race ahead. They start to trip over their words. They start to fumble and tumble. And it's a very natural thing. It's not to be ashamed of. You start to trip on your words. It happens. It's life. But the key element is to regain control. And the way you do that is changing emphasis, changing the way you speak in terms of pace. So sometimes increasing pace, sometimes reducing pace. But either way, you're actually able to exert more control. Something magical happens, and that is when you exert control in pace, you exert control in breathing. And of course, when you're breathing different, you're adjusting your confidence. That's just one element of 100 strategies that we teach.
So that is a powerful tip, Bilal, in terms of pacing and the variety of pacing as well. Enabling yourself to emphasize a point by pausing and enabling yourself to, I suppose, come over very confident at the start of your presentation. But also earlier on, you talked about people having a right to have their authentic voice heard, their personal voice heard. And the word authentic, I think.
Absolutely.
And how people have a different mindset if they're speaking in public compared with if they're speaking or having a chat with their friends. And sometimes when we have a radio guest who comes on this program and we know they're really interesting, because we only get people on this program who are really, really interesting, which is why we've asked you and Deborah onto the show today. Mm-hmm. But we will often find, or I will often find, that I have someone on and they're really interesting, and I know they're really interesting, and I know they're really accomplished, and they're sitting out there before coming on air, and I can be really very, very nervous indeed. Mm. And I will say, well, just forget about the radio microphone. Mm. Imagine we're just having a chat. You and I are just having a chat. You're telling me about your business. What do you want me to know? And that's the thing, isn't it, I suppose? And you talked about an authentic voice there and that kind of mindset. And perhaps some people think, well, if they go up on stage or if they're in a video or if they're in a presentation or whatever, they have to be like something else they've seen on TV or they've seen at an event or whatever, and they have to ape or mimic a certain style, and they don't have to do that. They have to be natural, don't they? And
absolutely.
Do you find that people come in thinking they have to sort of stand up and be very kind of in your face, and actually if their personal style is that, then that's ideal, but if their personal style is perhaps more quiet, they need to simply be confident about being allowed to do that. And once they are confident about being allowed to do that, they can tell a wonderful story. They can have people hanging on every word.
Absolutely right. And I think when you speak from passion and when you speak from authenticity and you speak from truth, I'm a massive believer in truth. If you speak from truth, you feel strong. And I think one of the strategies, and I'll give one insight into this about the speaking mindset. It's about being able to serve. If you can serve your audience, and if you care, and if you love your audience, if you care about what they get from it, everybody who comes to the Public Speaking Academy, we genuinely care about, because they've trusted us, they've invested in us, they've put time and effort and money and finance into coming to a program. And I, on a personal level, feel it's my duty, I feel it's an honor to be able to share strategies, share coaching approaches, share experience with those people. And if you can put that love, put that priority onto the audience rather than yourself, that focus changes. Because a lot of the time when you're on radio or you're on TV or wherever you are, a lot of people get in the way of themselves. And what happens is that self-consciousness kicks in and that performance is lost. The actual message is lost in the performance rather than the message which needs to land. The audience needs that message. And if you imagine that you're speaking to a group of people who really need to hear your message, they need to understand it. It's for them. It's your gift to them. You would never hesitate giving a gift to a friend. You wouldn't hesitate giving a gift to a partner. You shouldn't hesitate giving your message, which is effectively a gift, to your audience. And that's when you start to remove that consciousness, that self-consciousness.
So some helpful advice there, Bilal. Thank you for listeners when they are speaking in whatever context. And of course, you have many other tips on the Public Speaking Academy website and in your videos. But you're also helping people live at your event this weekend. Mm-hmm. It's at the Hilton. It's on Saturday. It's fully booked. What's the format of the event? How's it running?
So we have two halves within the day. So we have a masterclass, which is effectively our taster session.
Yes.
We invite everyone who has an interest in public speaking, wants to see us in action, see what we're all about, to come along, to know, like, and trust us, to understand what's happened and hear the stories of people who've gone through the program. So we've got people like Angela Preston, who was a coach, and after spending 2 years with us, she's now actually on Bloomberg TV. She's doing phenomenal things. Her coaching business has been transformed. We have other guests like Stuart McCaddy, who started a business which is now growing phenomenally as a consequence of his ability to reach out and connect. So we showcase our stars, if you like. Yes, we're the speakers on stage, but we showcase our stars. And then in the afternoon, it's all about the people in the program. They are standing up, they're speaking, they're working in twos, threes, fours. They're working in a larger group towards the end of the session, but it's a progressive system. So it's very immersive, it's very experiential. The strategies that I talk about, that I hinted at today, we go into a lot more detail. And it's about a spirit, a community, energy that is created through the facilitation. And we've been doing this. We probably had around about 10,000 people through our doors at the Public Speaking Academy. We've made massive impact to the lives of individuals who want to get on that journey. We're the catalyst for that. And I always think if you're hearing this message, there's a reason behind it. If it resonates, there's a reason behind it. If it touches your heart, there's a reason behind it, because your voice is calling. You need to be heard. And I always say, don't leave that voice within you, because if you do, it's going to hurt you. Get it out there, get your message out there. So that's the 1st of October, Saturday, the Hilton. If people listening to this show would like to take advantage, I've got a couple of places that I have squeezed out for Sheffield Live listeners, just for your radio listeners at this show. So
this is a good opportunity for listeners.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm going to give them absolutely free, okay, as a gift.
And the value, if they were paying for it.
The value for this masterclass is £45. It's a morning session. There is a program. If they want to continue the journey with us, that's at a fee in the afternoon. We will make an offer on the day, depending on the numbers in the room. But for the morning, we are going to give this absolutely free. It's 9:30 as a start, and it finishes at 12:45. They simply need to send an email mentioning your name, Jamie, in the subject title.
They better spell my name right.
Well, they can just stick at Jamie then, in that case. it's inquiry@publicspeakingacademy.co.uk. So that's inquiry@publicspeakingacademy.co.uk. And if they just simply mention your name, and we will then issue them a ticket.
Okay, that's a fantastic opportunity, Bilal. Thank you for that on behalf of listeners. So if you want to go along to the morning on Saturday, all you need to do is email Bilal, give out the address.
I will. That's absolutely fine. It's inquiry@publicspeakingacademy.co.uk. inquiry@publicspeakingacademy.co.uk. And that's the 1st of October, Sheffield Hilton. If you can't make that, and because I've just realised some people may have plans. So if you really do have plans that you can't cancel, we do have a number of other sessions across the year. So if you do send the email, we'll put you on the reserve list and we will get you to the next event. The next one in Sheffield is in January now, but we do have something in Leeds, so it's not a million miles away. It's a train ride away.
Super. Okay, so email Bilal's email address. Mention my name, Jamie Veitch, or just mention Jamie, and then Bilal will know that you've heard this radio show, and then there are a couple of places available this Saturday. So that's marvellous. Thank you very much for that, Bilal. And since you've been on this programme, the business has obviously gone from strength to strength. You talked about having trained or worked with 10,000 people in the time that you've been running this and supporting people. where is the growth coming from? What kind of people are you working with most, and where are they finding out about you?
I think the key thing, and it's interesting that the number's impressive, 10,000, but if we think about the context, we are public speakers, therefore we speak to large audiences, and therefore you could get to 10,000 very quickly, because the very nature of public speaking is it is the ultimate marketing tool. It is the way to reach, to sell to many, to reach many, to get your message out to many. So simply being invited to talks and run seminars is our methodology. So we live and breathe what we teach. We get lots of businesses that come along and say, look, we're brilliant at selling one-to-one. I can close this deal. I can do this. I can, I've got a great product, a great service. The reality is one-to-one is limited. And one-to-many is the new system of doing business. And I would advocate, if you're wanting to grow your business, if you're wanting to take it to the next level, that really is a mechanism. And that's exactly what we've done in terms of our mechanism of doing business, the business model. I individually do coach at the high-end level. So I work with the political speakers, I work with CEOs, and I also work now with sports stars. So I'm really enjoying doing that. I'm fascinated by sport. I think there's something parallel between sport and public speaking, and a lot of the future sports stars that I'm now working with and existing sports stars recognize this and want to use it as a mechanism, as a fallback system, so that when they do retire from boxing, from football, from one of the sports, they can go onto the speaking circuit and still command fees. So it's an interesting area that I've now started to move into.
It's a fascinating area, that, isn't it? And as we were talking before coming into the studio, a sporting career is usually limited in time. And this gives sports people a way to use their knowledge of self-motivation, their knowledge of discipline and so on, and work in a business context in terms of speaking. There are often people who want to hear them. And on this show, of course, we've had Andy Kirkpatrick, who is a climber and an author. He's published several books now, which have won literary awards. And he's given a really sort of raw, warts and all picture for us of making his living as a professional speaker and author, which we found fascinating. And again, of course, listeners can find that as a podcast if they want to, but it was a great insight from someone doing it, and really interesting, Bilal, to learn how you're working with more sports people as well. So we're going to have to move on in a moment or two, but before we do, I'm going to ask you to give out the actual website address, because if listeners can't come to your event on Saturday, but they want more of the tips that you've given out today, some fascinating and useful tips that you've given to listeners, but there are more on your website, then they can find those, of course. So do you want to give out the address?
Absolutely. There are lots of articles on the website as well and videos. So it's www.publicspeakingacademy.com. All one word, .co.uk. So that's publicspeakingacademy.co.uk. And I'm Bilal Jamil. So if you want to Google me, I hopefully come to the top for the top two pages. So you should be able to find me, add me on LinkedIn. And there's a number of articles around speaking strategies, mindset and technique that I'm happy to share. And if there is anything specific, feel free to email.
Fantastic. Well, that's absolutely tremendous, Bilal. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
And I suppose, listeners, it's worth reminding that you need to send an email to Bilal's inquiry email address if you want to go along on Saturday. There are two free tickets up for grabs. So thanks for that. We're going to play a track of music that's been chosen by Bilal. And this is the script featuring Will.i.am. And it's Hall of Fame.
We're open for Business Live.
You're listening to Business Live, Sheffield Live 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org with me, Jamie Veitch. And on the programme this morning, we've heard from Bilal Jamil. He runs a public speaking academy, and he's given some tips for any listeners who need to speak in public. Now, whatever the context, whether that's standing up and doing a presentation, or whether that's at a meeting, or a radio interview even, or of course doing a video that you post on your website, there are some tips in the interview earlier which you might find helpful. And he's also, Bilal has also offered a couple of places for free to Sheffield Live listeners at his forthcoming event. In fact, tomorrow, Saturday. Now, if you've only just tuned in and you've missed that, then don't panic, because of course you can catch up with the podcast of today's programme. It will be up on the Sheffield Live website, sheffieldlive.org, in the radio section, Business Live, from about 11 a.m. So you can listen then and catch up. Now, I'm delighted to welcome to the studio our next guest today. It's fantastic to have Deborah Bullivant here with me. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, Jamie. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. It's your second time on this programme, but your first time live in the studio, because I came along to the Grimm & Co launch earlier on this year. And Grimm & Co, for listeners who may have missed, if anyone's missed that segment, is a wonderful apothecary to the magical, a children's literacy charity, and much, much more. Deborah, do you want to tell listeners the more, the much, much more that Grimm & Co is?
Right, yes. Obviously, as this is radio, I need to emphasise that it's Grimm with two M's and not just one. And that people might have heard of the brothers Jacob and Wilhelm Grimm, who were brothers who collected stories from all over the world. Now, people might think that they are the inventor of that name, really, and why we use it. But actually, they were customer service representatives for Grimm & Co, because it was created back in 1148, just before lunchtime, by a guy called Graham Grimm, who was the seventh son of a seventh son. And he was sent out by his father, Enoch, who said, get out there and earn your fortune. All your brothers are doing really well and you've done naught. So get out there and earn your fortune and don't come back till you have. And he found this niche business area, magical beings. You see, he was a seventh son, so he could talk to them.
He could indeed.
And he was a Yorkshire lad. And he was walking down a Yorkshire lane and he came across a boggart. And the boggart said to him, oh, I'm a bit tired, I haven't got my energy today. And he says, where do you get your energy from? This Graham said. And he says, well, I get my energy from stories, like you get yours from sunshine and food. I get mine from stories. And he says, oh, really? And you're struggling to find them? And he says, oh, yes, I am. He says, right, I think I've found my business idea. So he created a shop. And the shop sells stories. He had a back room where young people would be invited to create these stories in fun and exciting ways. And then they would sell them in the shop. And then, of course, lately, this big retail giant, real giant, of course.
Oh, yes.
Mary Portals, some of you might have heard of her. She told him that it was time he diversified his business as a retail unit to humans as well. So maybe he might like to be a little bit more visible to humans rather than being invisible. So he thought about it, because he's still around, you know. And he thought, OK, then, we'll go visible to humans. So now there's this apothecary to the magical. It's in Rotherham, on Doncaster Gate. We can now say that to humans as well as magical beings. And it sells, again, listening to Mary Portals, it sells all sorts of things, ready-made potions, also ingredients for potions like thickest human snot and donated grandma scabs that are only donated from free-range grandmas. And weirdly, humans use these as soaps and bath salts and all sorts of things. And then the ready-made potions include things like a pinch of happiness and eternal ugliness for those blessed with just too much beauty. We'll have to get you some of that, Jim. And all of them have side effects. Some of them include beautiful side effects like moonlight dancing. But then others have side effects that might be a little bit inconvenient, like limbo dancing just spontaneously, or spontaneously needing to set up a souvenir shop. So there's all sorts of things on our products. They all make fantastic gifts, of course. And every penny on these products goes to our charity, which is our raison d'etre, behind the secret door in Grimm & Co, where all the real magic happens with words and stories, where children and young people aged 7 to 18 come through those secret doors and create magic in scripts, in film writing, in documentaries, and all sorts of ways of using words. They create those behind the secret door. And we have free out-of-school activities for children. And we also do story-making activities for schools. We're Yorkshire-wide, but we give priority to South Yorkshire.
What an absolutely magnificent description, Deborah Bullivant. Thank you so much for that. So Grimm & Co, Yorkshire-wide, priority to South Yorkshire, Rotherham, on Doncaster Gate. There's a secret door and there's much, much more. Lotions, potions, stories. And that tale that you have told, of course, is a tale that is painted on the wall behind the secret door as well. And visitors can read in depth, but visitors are drawn into Grimm & Co. And I've been myself, and I know how alluring, exciting and accessible it is. Drawn in by lotions, by potions, by exciting things to see. And you find yourself then able to work with children in storytelling, in children's literacy projects. It's really remarkable. Why and how did, why did you choose to do it, Deborah? And how did you get it to launch? Because it really is a remarkable project.
Right, I better give you the brief version or we'll be here all morning and I'm sure people don't want to hear that. But the brief version is there was a project in Rotherham. I came back from doing some national work and came back to Rotherham to head it up. And it was a project where we had some funding from the Regional Development Agency. It was called Inspire Rotherham. And I was director of that project. It was council-led in Rotherham, and it was to look into what made the greatest difference in children's literacies. And there was a great feeling and lots of research out there that was indicating that creative approaches made the greatest difference with the most marginalised children. And so we trialled. We had quite a bit of funding. We had £2 million over 2 years to spend, which was amazing. I'll never have that again. Well, I might, but yes, it's a dream. So we spent that funding, but we spent it in a wise way. We explored with the University of Sheffield, who came in as resident researchers within it, to explore what did make the greatest difference to those children that were the most marginalised, and how could we do that and roll it out beyond that. All of that research told us some key areas of work that we needed to do. So then I set my stall out to make sure there was a legacy to that, because I knew the funding was going to just go and there was going to be no more funding like that for a while, especially when we went through, at the time we started to go through all the austerity stuff that was going on, and policy was changing. The Regional Development Agency closed.
Indeed.
We knew that. So starting from a zero money point, I made a life decision to not go for a job I was offered back in a national arena and stay local and see this through, and to actually make sure that we used all that data, all that research, all that, and created something amazing that was not just for Rotherham children, although Rotherham children would get priority because they were subject to all the evaluation research, but it would be across Yorkshire. And so I went about creating a model that would have all these elements in. And then I saw this most amazing TED Talk. I don't know whether you know about TED Talks.
Well, I do, but for any listeners who don't know about TED Talks, let's just briefly explain.
Right. If you're ever bored on a plane or have a moment where you could just fill it somewhere with something exciting. There's some fantastic things called TED Talks. They're presentations where somebody who's done something exciting or inspirational. There's people like Bill Gates who've done these, and many other people who have changed the way we see things and do things. And so they invite them to do these TED Talks, and they're very short presentations, very inspirational, very upbeat, about something in particular, where they achieved something and how they did it. So I saw this TED Talk somebody had sent to me saying, I think this is what you're looking for. And it was a TED Talk by Dave Eggers, who's amazingly, he's a huge author in America. Over here, people might not have heard of him so well, but he's written
books that people might have come across, including Heartbreaking Work of Staggering Genius. And he wrote a satire called The Circle, which is a satire of a nameless tech company. Read it though, and you might recognise the tech company you think it's based on. But sorry, Deborah, to interrupt. Just worth bringing in a couple of Dave Eggers' works there. But go on.
Thank you. Well researched. He's brilliant. He is a brilliant author, and in America, he's very, very well known.
Yes,
and very highly acclaimed. And he did this TED Talk that was the winning TED Talk for that year. And it was all about how he created a shop for pirates where you can go and you can buy your plank by the foot. You can buy your parrot bird seed, your Blackbeard's beard dye, your eye patch. Scurvy be gone in their apothecary collection. Things that pirates need on a day-to-day basis but can't always get in a human world. And then what he'd done this for was, he tells you all about this on his TED Talk, and it is absolutely fascinating. And he has this pirate shop that looks amazing as a pirate shop, and he did this as his philanthropic work that he does, because behind the secret door, well, actually there it's a Jolly Roger, of course, and behind the Jolly Roger there's a writer's cafe for children and young people, and they go the same as what we've created. They go after school and in holiday programs, and they also do inspirational workshops for schools to reignite that fire, to unleash your imagination and the importance of imagination for future life and everything else, but also to get children enjoying writing and to champion the writer in every child. And they recruit volunteers, and they have a huge volume of volunteers working there who love it and do all sorts of things there, fundraising through to working as story mentors with the children, or working in the pirate shop and serving pirates, the odd one that comes through the door. Now, that's where it started, but then it went further than that. There's now a superhero supply store. There's one that's for time travel, where the sign actually says, wherever you are, we've already been. And there's a drinks machine there that says, out of order, come back yesterday. And there's all these lovely little moments that you see
touches,
in there.
Yes.
Absolutely, yeah. That he create, he, him and his team and the volunteers and the people that got involved all created across America. So there's 8 now in America. And I contacted them. I thought, right, this isn't something that's out of our reach. We can do this and we can bring it to Yorkshire. And I contacted them and said, I want to bring Once Upon a School, which is what he calls his TED Talk, to Yorkshire. And I'm going to put it in Rotherham. And the people on the phone said, oh, wow, that's amazing. I can't do an American accent, so I won't try.
That was a good approximation.
No. So they said, that's amazing. We already have one place in London that does this. And, of course, there's Fighting Words that Roddy Doyle heads up in Ireland. And Nick Hornby is the writer on the project in London. So I connected all of these and got connected to all of these. I did speak to Roddy Doyle and I've spoken to Nick Hornby, and I've met all of them and Dave Eggers now.
Yes.
And I told London what I was wanting to do, and I didn't ask them. I just said, we're doing this. We'd love to partner up with you. And they were thrilled that we were thinking of doing it and have been hugely supportive. That's Hoxton Street Monster Supplies.
Indeed, yes.
And they supply, earwax by the cube. So
by
they
the
provide
cube.
Cubed earwax. And they sell neck bolt tighteners and, all sorts of things. Zombie fresh mints and things that monsters need, you know, and can't get anywhere else. So they have the monster shop. And I spent some time with Ben and Lucy, who are the founding directors there,
yes.
who were hugely supportive. And then we've created ours in Rotherham, which is a shop for magical beings, an apothecary for magical beings.
And you opened earlier this year, and with the support of authors, and in fact you've had significant support of authors as well, not only at your opening but as patrons, and getting heavily involved in events at Grimm & Co. and supporting you in terms of getting things going. So what a journey, what a story, and what an impact as well. And I've been there as myself, of course. And just going back to a couple of things that you talked about, because you mentioned creative projects being having the most impact in terms of working with children at certain disadvantages. And I looked up some stats and found that 57% of young people in Rotherham live in the 30% most deprived areas nationally, according to the indices of multiple deprivation, which rank different local authority areas on a local authority or ward by ward basis, tell all sorts of stories. And that demonstrates perhaps that aspects such as high unemployment, lower educational attainment and other social disadvantages, they have impacts, and they have long impacts. And perhaps it demonstrates a need for different and alternative and new ways to engage people in education. But it's not a sort of, right, we will educate you in literacy. It is very highly engaging, as you've clearly demonstrated in the programme today. Now, how many children have been into the project so far?
Well, so far, it's gone beyond our wildest dreams, to be honest. We have worked already with over 1,000 children, and we've only been open since the 29th of February, that day,
yes.
day that doesn't exist usually. we opened on that day for obvious reasons, and we have already had over 1,000 children through the doors. By the end of our first, we're now into our first academic year, and by the end of that, we'll definitely have engaged another 2,000 children over that year. And you're absolutely right, Jamie. There's the reason why we've based the project in Rotherham, not saying that this isn't prevalent across South Yorkshire.
Indeed.
And Yorkshire actually
yeah.
have. We have difficulties with our literacy levels in Yorkshire. We have some challenges, and a lot of our young people also switch off to writing, essentially writing, at a certain age. And we found this through a lot of the research that we did, especially boys between the age of, upwards from 7, 8 years old. Tend to switch off from writing activities, don't see the point of it, don't enjoy it so much. The trouble with that is not only thinking about it from a statistical point of view in terms of literacy and what impact that has, and we all know that if you find it difficult to read or write, if you don't engage in reading or writing and practice it well, it will affect all of your learning across your school provision. So nowadays, if you're doing a science programme, you need to write an essay in your exams at GCSE level as part of your science, even science, and I'm picking that one because it's probably seen to be the furthest away from English that you can be.
Yes.
So now you need to be able to write for everything. And literacy, writing, is everywhere. in everything. So if you're not engaging in it, you've already opted out of a lot of opportunities and life chances that you might have had. And that's going to affect everything economically for you, let alone life and other just satisfaction of living a full life. You can't do it if you're not able to really engage in these activities. So we have focused in on writing, because writing is a particular challenge for schools. It's a particular challenge for a lot of, especially boys, but children of through certain ages. And we know we can do this. We can champion the writer in every child. Our method is very exciting. We work with age 7 to 18, as I've said, and we engage through artists who are very engaging people, very enthusiastic, do a whole load of different projects. So projects like our writer is Jeremy Dyson.
Yes.
He was one of the co-writers of League of Gentlemen, one of the four who created that. He was the one who wasn't on the screen for that. He chose to opt out of that. But his writing is phenomenal. He's written Ghost Stories that's on at the West End.
Yes,
and he's now being produced as a film, but keep that quiet. And he's directing that with Martin Freeman, I believe, is in the cast. So Jeremy is the most amazing person, and he's a, not just our patron, he is very actively involved. He's on the board.
Right.
And he's involved in the work we do. So he actually helped us to write a comedy writing workshop, and he delivered the first one with us. And he comes in and does guest appearances where he'll join in and do delivery with the young people.
So
as
how
well.
Wonderful. He's absolutely committed to the success of Grimm & Co and the impact and the work that you do with young people as well. And of course, he's a patron, he's heavily involved. But as you mentioned, other authors, other artists are very supportive as well. And worth mentioning Joanne now, I think. Mm. Joanne Harris, who wrote Chocolat. She's written wonderful short stories. She's written all sorts of gothic and fantasy novels. She's a highly accomplished author. Many people will know her for Chocolat because it was turned into such a successful film, the story of Vianne in the village in France, and of course the chocolate. Now she has been supportive as well, but she wrote the book, the novel Chocolat, and it's a novel that I know is a novel dear to your heart as well. Mm. Deborah.
It is. Yes, I've been very lucky through this project. It's an unexpected outcome for me that I've managed to meet one of my heroes, and that is Joanne Harris. Her writing is beautiful. Not only does she talk about chocolate, which is one of my favourite subjects, but her writing is absolutely beautiful. And one of the, you asked me to look at a book for the week for me of something that was dear to me. And her book, Chocolat, was quite special to me because there was a period of my life where I didn't have the opportunity to read at all and couldn't read a book. And it took a long time. And then my first book choice that I chose to read, and I'd not read it before, was this book, because I'd heard so much about it from people who told me and were credible in their opinions of books. And it was amazing. It just took me to another world. It took my imagination away, and the writing of it was impeccable. So that, of course, is my choice. And Joanne is really she is the master of imagination. She really does know how to work the imagination, but she totally gets it. And I now talk with her regularly, and she really does get imagination and the use of it, the importance of it.
Yes.
In thinking in new ways. You know, business, we're talking about business. If you can't create new ideas without having the imagination to think of something that might be possible. If we always look at what we already do, we'll never progress. Imagination is crucial. And I think we start that with fiction, we start it with stories, and then we work on it in other ways. And Joanne is an absolute master in fiction.
And so the book has obviously had a profound impact. Mm. on you personally, and through this project you've been able to work with Joanne, and what a wonderful experience it's clearly been, that someone who's written words on the page that resonated with you and that you enjoyed so much has turned out to be so incredibly supportive and so imaginative and so helpful to the children supported by Grimm & Co. and for the project. I mean, that's a lovely tale in itself, and a wonderful tale for us to feel good about your social enterprise and your journey of support and supporting people in Rotherham and South Yorkshire and Yorkshire-wide, Deborah. We could go on much further, but I would urge listeners who've heard about Grimm & Co. now and want to visit to do so. And in fact, who could not want to visit, having heard Deborah's description of Grimm & Co., and of course to go to the website to find out more. And perhaps, Deborah, you could give people the website address first of all, if you can.
Yes, it's Grimm with two M's, andco.co.uk.
Wonderful. And you're on Facebook and Twitter as well, of course.
We are. We're on all of those things, yes.
And there will be a business breakfast event coming up at Grimm & Co. in October, hosted by Rotherham Hospice, who I do some work with. It will be free for businesses and social enterprises to attend. So I'll be giving out details of how to register for that and on the radio show next week and the week after. And people would have the opportunity to meet you, Deborah, face-to-face if they come along to that. And we'll be talking about storytelling in business as well. Now, we've only got about a minute or two left, I'm afraid. And so I think we're going to have to get you back on the radio show again, Deborah, if we may. But I suppose if you had a call to action for businesses, for social enterprises who are listening to this programme, what would it be?
Right. OK, we have had amazing support from organisations like the design company Side by Side, Interserve, Yorkshire Tiles, Metal and Dust Furniture, all sorts of amazing companies, Airmaster, Air Conditioning, who have done all sorts of different things to help us out in all sorts of ways. And they've been creative about how they could help us. Side by Side have helped us with our branding and design. Without them, we couldn't look as fantastic as we do. And we need corporate volunteers, really. We need businesses to really think, how could they help us? How could they be involved? So rather than me dictate, there's one thing we desperately need. Our website's not great. You'll see if you visit it. We could do with help with our website development. So we're looking for an amazing company that can get it as good as Hoxton Streets, because their amazing website is out there. The other thing is we need volunteers from the community and from businesses, from anywhere really, who want to come and help out in whatever way they want to help. And we want corporate businesses to come and help and be partners with us and support us. And we'll promise we'll promote and support you right back, because we don't take anything without doing that.
Well, wonderful opportunity for listeners running businesses to get involved. Please do so and go to the Grimm & Co. website or Twitter or Facebook, and through that you can get in touch with Deborah. Deborah, I'm so sorry we're going to have to end it here because time is short. Thank you so much for coming into the radio studio today and talking about Grimm & Co. Deborah Bullivant, thank you.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Business Live, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org. We'll be back on air next Friday, 9 a.m. through to 10 a.m. But don't go away now, because next up is our fantastic folk music programme, Thank Goodness It's Folk, from 10 through to 12. In the studio with me today has been Paul Gregory as well as sound engineer. My thanks to him. My thanks to Deborah and Bilal, our guests today, and my thanks to you for listening. We're going to play out with 30 seconds of a track chosen by our guest Deborah. This is Kate Rusby, it's Underneath the Stars.